You may be seated. It is it's hard for me to even express how thankful I am to God that after we've been apart for 7 weeks, we come together and we actually can worship through all of the means of grace, all the ways God's given us. We've heard the word preached. We've sung together. We've prayed. We're going to take the Lord's Supper this evening, and today we get to have a baptism. I'm hopeful that you all will listen for God's testimony in Thayer's life. Be encouraged. There's no miracle like the miracle of rebirth, a new creation, a soul that's been made right with God through Christ forever. What else is there? Right? So, there. I need the microphone. There it is. Turn it on first. So, there, tell us about, here, why don't you step up here where you can be seen a little bit. You're in the dark. Tell us about, and I'll come over here. Here we go. Perfect. Tell us about your life. Before Christ, regeneration, life since.
Okay. So, as most of you have heard my parents' testimony, that would be around the first time when I heard the gospel. Which I was only about 4 at that time, so I basically... Do I need to hold it closer? Okay.
More better.
So, I basically grew up with the gospel abundantly. And by growing up with it constantly throughout my life, I took it for granted, thinking since I heard it so often, I wasn't in need of it or it never really stuck with me or hit me like it might have been for my parents when they first heard it and believed. But that was a very young age, and I grew up in a Christian family for most of my life. Even though since that time when my parents were saved, I was still a very disobedient child, and because I was so disobedient, I was, of course, disciplined, and that caused me to be angry with my parents and my family, specifically my dad. The desire for sin in me caused me to be hateful when corrected or shown my sin. And it was very prevalent in my life. And basically controlled who I was and what my actions were and my thoughts was that hatred and anger. My life, as I grew, I don't remember the time exactly. I think I may have been 8 or 9 when I had a conversation with my dad. And from that conversation, I thought that I was saved from that moment on. And as I see now, I wasn't, which was something I struggled with, the actual belief in God that I claimed to have from that moment. It was something that caused me to struggle and put turmoil in me. Even though I had been raised with the true gospel, I still somehow fell into the thinking of works equals salvation. I don't really know how, and I never would have consciously thought it or said it. I would have known it was wrong, but based off of how I lived and my anxiousness of my sin, thinking every time I sinned, this must mean I'm not actually right with God because I'm unable to be perfect. But continuing to grow more years later, I never really was challenged on my faith, which caused me to just continue to live in my anger and hatred and lying and idolatry and sin in general just took over my life, but I kept it hidden because I didn't want to upset or displease my parents or displease the other people I knew. Eventually, we came to this church, and I was, of course, there were a few times when I was asked about salvation, what I believed, what I believe, and that was something I'd never ran into before. People never really were that concerned with what my testimony or the strength of my faith, and I didn't know what to do with that. I didn't know how to answer. I basically just tried to become as passive as possible to not run into conversations I had to have with people here. And then as once we fully switched to this, to coming to this church and started to consider, or once we moved to this church, switched to going to this church, my anger continued to grow, specifically for my parents, because I thought, because I was tired of moving or having to meet new people that I didn't know. And I had a very poor me attitude about it. And it just continued to build that anger and hatred inside of me that controlled my life, directed mostly at my father, and most importantly, directed at God for my life that I didn't want, whatever it may have been that I didn't like. It caused me to be angry with God because I didn't want whatever life I had and thought it was God's fault that I was upset or displeased because of my pride that caused me to continue to grow angry and hateful towards my parents and God, continuing to just fuel the hatred and the pride, just fuel each other. And I tried to keep it hidden and internalized. Eventually it became obvious some way or another to my dad that I was angry. I don't remember exactly when, but I do remember that my dad came and confessed to me, telling me that he had stirred up anger in me, quoting Ephesians 6:4, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." So, of course, my pride and sinfulness latched onto that, and I continued to blame him for my anger and hatred, and continued to be controlled by that sin towards my father, and more importantly towards God, of the hatred of the people that he had created in his image, and directly hating God. Continued to live here at this church and have conversations with, specifically some conversations with Pastor Tyler and other people in the church, learning, and it became clear to me my sinfulness of hatred. It became the most common thought on my mind of how sinfulness I am. Eventually I realized that my previous salvation that I claimed was false. It wasn't true that I believed or trusted in God for salvation or wanted to honor God with my, I hadn't repented. I was still continuing to be hateful. And that sinfulness being shown to me caused me to feel very guilty and very grieved by my sin. I then, once I realized I wasn't right with God and on a dark path to judgment, I became anxious over the hopelessness I had now realized I had sometime last summer, last year, And I couldn't stop thinking about that sin and hatred that I knew controlled me. So I turned to anything that I could to distract me from recognizing or dealing with my state of sin away, separated from God. And that anything that I could that could distract me, just it became my new idol, my new savior, in a sense, that I didn't have to think about my depravity. I had a lot of worldly guilt, which 2 Corinthians 7:9-10 says, as it is, I rejoice not because you were grieved, but because you were grieved into repenting, for you felt godly grief, so that you suffered no loss through us. For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereas worldly grief produces death. I had a worldly grief and guilt over my sins. It was not a godly grief that led to repentance, but a worldly grief that was producing death. I didn't want to repent of my sin. I just wanted to be angry with myself for it and to be punished, ultimately to be punished for my sins. Realizing that I was not right with God caused me to be guilty to the point where I'd rather harm myself or be punished by God for my sins. I didn't.
So in pride, there you're basically saying I'd rather be punished for my sins than believe on Christ because I deserve it, and so
exactly.
I'm not going to repent because I want the punishment that I've earned.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I didn't want to repent because of my pride and sin, and the guilt kept weighing down on me. It continued to pull me down with the amount of sin that I realized I had, until I realized the pointlessness of a guilt that didn't lead to repentance. That a guilt that doesn't produce a desire to repent is a worthless, self-righteous guilt in some sense. I thankfully feared God and didn't want to live my life dishonorably. I changed from that thought process of thinking that I deserved death and punishment to realizing I wanted to glorify and honor God with my life instead of just living it sinfully in hatred. I wanted to repent of my sin, and I wanted to honor God with my life instead. My hatred lessened for people and my family. It lessened for God. I no longer hated God, but loved God and wanted to honor Him with my life, instead of dishonoring Him with it by lying and hating and idolizing. I let the hatred go, and the lying and idolatry, or more accurately, I was freed from those sins. I couldn't have repented on my own. It was entirely by God's grace that I was able to repent of those sins, and my pridefulness and self-idolatry, thinking that I deserved something better, that God owed me something better, those thoughts went away, and I realized how gracious God had been to me for the many years that I've had with the gospel. It caused me to trust God with my life instead, and that was when I had found a new faith or salvation. I realized that I had truly trusted in God for the first time. And even after that, I still struggled with my faith, thinking I'd fooled myself once, or what if what if I'm not elect or whatever? And it was a terrible way of thinking, but I eventually just stopped and realized that I just needed to trust God with my life instead of worrying about what I might do to mess up, I just needed to trust God and know that my life is His to do with as He pleases. Because I knew that I could trust that He will hold me fast because Christ paid for my sins by being punished with the punishment that I deserved, that I knew I deserved, but knew I could do nothing about. And it finally, the gospel that I'd heard for 10 years finally became clear to me what the actual meaning of it was, and the actual effect. I had actually experienced the gospel instead of just hearing about it or thinking I understood it. And it is entirely because of Christ's atonement for my sins that I am now free to live for God, and it is only because of His sacrifice. It's nothing that I did, and I can finally realize it. Since then, I actually had a desire to honor God and to learn more and read His word, and the hatred and sorrow left me and was replaced with a peace and joy and care and love for God that could only be from Him.
A couple of clarifying questions.
Sure.
Is there anything you can do that would have you to lose the gift of salvation that God's given you?
No.
And there, if you guys going back to Iowa City, your dad rolls the van in the ditch and you die, where is your soul going to be?
With God in glory.
And why?
Because He paid for my sins and my life.
And so what I hear is, I hear you saying that what happened in your life was a worldly sorrow, a lot of guilt, and that guilt not leading to any repentance, just leading to more self-loathing and or more self-righteousness of God owed you something, turned into a sorrow that led to repentance. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Yep.
Anything else you want to say? We are going to baptize Thayer, and for all of us, a reminder of baptism being an ordinance that we've given where we're going to baptize Thayer, not that this does anything to save him, but it is a real begin as a new creation to a life lived to the glory of God and in glory forever. So because of the testimony that we've heard and because of the authority given to this local assembly, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.